Praise God. Praise God. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. If you have your Bibles, amen, we're going to get into the Word of God. I don't plan to preach for a long time, but I do have a message that God laid upon my heart for this service tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 3. Turn there with me tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 3. If you're there, say amen. 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 It says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Amen. Let's pray and ask for God's help in this service tonight. Amen. God, we're so very thankful, God, for the presence of your Spirit that we feel in this house already, God, for the touch of God that we felt already, God, in the song service, Lord, and in the pre-service prayer. God, we know that you have a purpose and a reason for this service, God. Lord, and we're asking that you would anoint this word to every heart, to every life, to every situation, God. Give us ears to hear your word, God, and let it apply to our lives and let it change us, Lord God. We'll be sure to give you the glory and all the honor that you deserve. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God. You can be seated tonight. Amen. In the verse of Scripture here that we read, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, amen, and he's warning them of something that they needed to be watching out for. Amen. If you read the books of Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, amen, you can see that there were a lot of things that the church in Corinth had issues with, things that needed to be addressed, amen. And we get to almost look in, we almost get to listen in on the things that the Apostle Paul was writing to them, the things that he was telling them, the correction and the direction that he was giving them through the Word of God. Amen. And so we get to glean a little bit of what was going on in that church. These were good people, amen, but they had issues, they had things that they had to work through. Now, Paul could have been worried about a lot of things, amen, but I find it interesting that he told them to watch out for the serpent, amen, beguiling them and trying to lead them astray. I think it's interesting that Paul brings up this verse of Scripture and the fact that he's worried about people being led away from their first love, being led away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. These people were Christians. Amen. These people were filled with the Spirit of God. They had the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yet he warns them and reminds them of one of the most prominent tricks that the enemy plays upon his people. Amen. He tries to get his church to get off of the simplicity that is in Christ. He tries to get them distracted from the things that would establish them in the Word of God. And he tries to make them complicated and make it harder than it has to be. Amen. The Word of God is not intended to be difficult. The Word of God is not intended to be hard or complex. But it's easy. It's easy for us to understand. It's face value. We don't have to read into it. We don't have to try to infuse our own knowledge and understanding into it. But if we just read it at face value, we can see what God has to say to us. Amen. In the world that we live in today, and you know, as sad as it is to say, there's a lot of people who have been led astray from the truth that's in Christ. Amen. There are a lot of churches, amen, and people that are claiming and striving to be Christians that they just don't have the understanding of the Word of God. Just as the serpent tricked Eve in the Garden of Eden, many Christians have been led astray and distracted by the subtlety or the sneakiness of the devil. Amen. If we look at the Scripture that we read, Paul warned them that their minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. Simplicity means singleness. It means without dissimulation or self-seeking. Basically put, Paul was writing them and telling this people, this group of people, that he would tell them that there would be people that would try to come and to pervert the perfect Word of God to fit to their own beliefs and their own teaching. He was telling them that there were going to become people that were going to say, oh, well, the Word of God doesn't say that. You don't need to worry about that. You don't need to do that. Amen, but this is what it says, and this is what it really means. Amen, you don't want to read it at face value, but you need to look at it through this eyepiece, through this eyeglass, and you need to look at it a little bit differently, and you need to look at it this way, because that's not what God meant. Amen, but the Bible says that the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. We don't change the Word of God just so that it fits our beliefs or our teachings. Amen. We don't change the Word of God so it lines up with how we want to live or how we desire to live in this flesh. We don't change the Word of God to line up with our belief structure, amen. But our belief structure needs to change to line up with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. We don't try to infuse man's will into the Word of God. Amen. We infuse the will of God into man. Amen. Did you know that God's Word is perfect? Amen. It's perfect. It doesn't need our help. God doesn't need our help. He doesn't need us to add something. He doesn't need us to take something away from the Word of God. God's Word is established. God's Word is perfect. And even though it was written thousands of years ago, it's just as relevant today as it was back then. Amen. So many today are saying that the Word of God, or at least parts of it, the Word of God doesn't apply to us today. It's not relevant to our generation. It's not relevant in today's day and age. But I tell you what, every single part of the Word of God, every single word in this book is still relevant to us tonight. Amen. Every single word still applies to me. Every word is still profitable. Amen. And there's a reason for it. Amen. God didn't put a single word in the Word of God that was not needed. He didn't accidentally add something, and He didn't, you know, put a little bit in here just for extra to make up for it, to fill in a gap or to fill in a space. But every single word, to the smallest word in the Word of God, is important for us today. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." Amen. If we stay in the old paths, you know what? This generation, this world today says, you know, you don't need to worry about the way they used to do things. You can do things however you want. Amen. But they're erred in their ways of thinking. Amen. That's not the right way of looking at it. Amen. The old paths are the right way. There were the right way back then in the days of Jeremiah, and they're still the right things. They're still the right ways to walk in today. Amen. The Word of God is still relevant to us today. Amen. And you know what? If we stand in His way, if we see, if we ask for the old path, wherein is the good way, and we walk in those ways, if we walk in the Word of God, if we walk in His truth, amen, we're going to find rest for our soul. Amen. So thankful for the old paths. I'm so thankful for a man of God that taught me what the Bible had to say, and he didn't infuse his own understanding and his own knowledge into it, but he told me, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." Here's a chapter and a verse. Look at it for yourself. Don't believe me. Don't believe what I'm telling you just because I say it, but look at it in the Word of God. Let me show you another scripture. Let me show you another scripture. Let me show you somewhere else where it backs this up, where it confirms what the Word of God has to say. I'm thankful for a man of God that was standing upon and still is standing upon the old paths. Amen. These paths were established long before us, but you know what? They're still relevant in our day and age that we live in today. Amen. We may not still be under the sacrificial law as they were in the Old Testament, but I'll tell you what, we are still very much under the law of God, the moral law of God. Amen. He doesn't write it upon tables of stone as He did the Ten Commandments when Moses went up upon the mount. Amen. Those tables of stone were all they had. That was their law. That was what they looked at for their law. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt not do that. Amen. But the Bible says that He doesn't do it that way anymore. He writes His law upon the fleshly tables of our heart. Amen. The thou shalt and the thou shalt not are written right here where God speaks to us and God talks to us and He says, you know what? I'm not pleased with that. You know what? I am pleased with this. You know what? I think that you should go in this direction. You know what? I don't think that you should go hang out with that person or go around that person anymore because they're not going to help you. They're not going to bless you. Amen. The Word of God speaks to us, not by tables of stone, not by written commandments that we have to have somebody show us or give to us, but by the Word of God that He writes on the tables of our heart. Amen. And we get the Word of God in our heart. I said it this morning. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee, God. Amen. I want God's word deep down in my heart. Amen. So I might not sin against Him so that I can stand uprightly and righteously, not in my own righteousness, but in His righteousness. Amen. We don't do certain things because God has written them on the tables of our heart. Amen. We desire to be pleasing to Him. Amen. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to be pleasing. When He sees me, when He looks at me, I want to say, I want Him to be pleased with His child. Amen. And if there's anything in me that's not pleasing to Him, I want Him to reveal it to me. I want Him to show it to me. Amen. Not so that I can say, oh, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But if God reveals it to me, I want to say, God, if it's not lining up with your will, if it's not your desire for that thing or that person or whatever it may be to be in my life, God, I'm going to get rid of it. God, I'm going to take care of it. Amen. Amen. You know what? I want to be right with God. Whatever it costs, whatever it costs, whatever it takes. Amen. Whatever it is that I have to give up, I want to be right with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4 says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him." You know, there are a lot of religions in our world today, and there are a lot of different beliefs. Amen? And you know what? Every single one of them think that they're right. But I'll tell you what, I'm not here to try to lift one up or to put another one down, but I think it's very important for us to know what we believe lines up with the Word of God. I think it's important to know what the Word of God says and if we're lined up with it. Amen. I'm not lifting up any religion. I'm not casting stones and any other belief structure. Amen. What does the Word of God say? Amen. It's not about man-made religion. It's about the Word of God and what God says. Thus saith the Word of the Lord. Amen. And how does my life line up with the Word of God? Amen. Where am I at? Where do I line up according to God's Word? If God's Word says thou shalt not, then I don't want to do it. If God's Word says thou shalt, then I want to make sure that I'm doing it. With everything within me, with all of my heart, all my mind, all my soul, my strength, everything within me, I don't want to hold anything back from God. Amen. And in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul talks about the gospel. Amen. He talks about, he's warning them that there may be some that would come and try to preach another gospel. Amen. He warns them that there may be some that would come and try to change the Word of God. And he warned them when they do that the church needs to watch out. Amen. If somebody comes and they stand in this pulpit and they begin preaching another gospel than what's been taught in the Word of God, what the Word of God has to say, amen, then we need to watch out. Amen. This wasn't the only time, and this wasn't the only church that he told this to. In the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, turn there with me tonight. Galatians 1 and verse 8, it says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed." Amen. Paul was pretty straightforward here in the book of Galatians, that if anyone, even an angel from heaven, changes the gospel, amen, that they would be accursed. Amen. That's pretty strong wording, amen. Amen. That's pretty plain if you ask me. Amen. We do not need to add to or take away from the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is perfect. Amen. God doesn't need our help. God doesn't need our input. God doesn't need our two cents when it comes to the Word of God. God's Word is powerful. Amen. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Amen. Amen. God's Word is powerful. Amen. Our words, they don't have the power that God's Word has. Amen. God's Word gets down to the joints and to the marrow of our bodies. It gets down to the deepest part of us. Amen. And it searches out the thoughts and the intents of our heart. God knows the intent of our heart. God knows the intent of your heart tonight. God knows the desires of your heart tonight. Amen. God's Word is able to get down to where we're living. And it's able to speak to us about the things that are in our life that may not be pleasing to Him. Amen. He's able to get down right to where we're living and say, "You know what? I don't want you doing that." Amen. So many in our generation don't want somebody telling them what to do. They don't want somebody telling them what's right and what's wrong. They think that they're able to figure it out all on their own. Well, I'll tell you what, something tonight. This preacher is not able to figure it all out on his own. Amen. This preacher tonight is not able to figure it all out and to try to understand what direction I need to go in my life. I lean upon God to tell me which direction I need to go. I lean upon God to tell me what's right and what's wrong. God doesn't need our help. He doesn't, you know, we don't have to dumb it down or try to simplify it to make it more simple so that people can understand it. God's Word is simple. God's word is the simplicity that is in Christ. It's simple enough that anyone here can understand it. It's simple enough that anybody that you talk to on your job can understand it. You don't have to sugarcoat it. You don't have to add to it. You don't have to make it sound more flowery than it needs to be. Amen. The word of God is truth. Amen. You can go on your job and you can tell them, you know what? The Bible says there's only one way to be baptized, and that's in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You don't have to tell them, well, you know, you can be baptized however you want. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. You don't have to sugarcoat it. God's Word is perfect. God's Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. You know what? The people on your job need to hear the Word of God exactly how it comes out of the Bible. Amen. It's simple enough for any man or woman to understand. It's man and mankind that has tried to make it so complicated. Amen. God's word's not complex. We don't have to try to get into the doxology and understand the church father, the founding fathers of the church, to try to understand what the desire of God has for our lives. We don't have to speak Greek and Hebrew to know what the plan of salvation is. Amen. We don't have to study for hours and hours on end to understand what God has for us. Amen. We have to read a couple scriptures and we can see, thus saith the word of the Lord. This is what God desires for our life. Amen. Because God's word is perfect. Amen. So this gospel that Paul was so adamant about preserving, what's so important that he warned these multiple churches in advance? Let's look at it here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which you are also saved. We're saved by the gospel. If you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and how he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Amen. Simply put, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot of churches will tell you today that the gospel is just the good news. Amen. I'll tell you what it is, good news. It's good news because, not because he died or that he was buried. Amen. But it's good news because he rose on the third day in a newness of life. Amen. To give resurrection power to his church. To give resurrection power to the body of Christ. Amen. It is good news. And you know what? It's pretty straightforward. If we don't try to infuse man's wisdom into it and we just take it at its face value. Amen. Remember, we're talking about the simplicity that is in Christ. The Bible says, and we know that Christ was crucified. Amen. He wasn't crucified for any sin that he committed, but he was crucified for your sins and for my sins. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Amen. He didn't go to the cross because of any sin that he committed. He went to the cross for my sins. He went to the cross for your sins. Amen. And you know what he did? He nailed them to that cross so that they could be sacrificed there, so that we didn't have to die for our own sins. Amen. We're the ones that deserve to die for our sins, but he took it on for us. Amen. He took on all the things that we committed that were against him. Amen. And he took them to the cross and nailed them to the cross for you and I. Amen. It goes on to say that he was buried. Matthew 27 and verse 59 says, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Amen. But you know what? He didn't stay there. Praise God. He didn't stay in that tomb. He didn't stay in that earthen grave. Amen. It says that after 3 days that he rose from the grave. Amen. Matthew 28 and verse 5 says, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, though. He is risen. Amen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys to hell and to death. Amen. He's not in a tomb anymore. We don't serve a dead, dry, dull, boring God. We don't serve a God that's still in a tomb tonight, but we serve a living God tonight. Amen. We serve a God that has the keys to death and hell. Amen. And not just for His sake, but for your sake and for my sake. He has the ability to resurrect each and every one of us. Amen. We serve a risen Savior tonight. Amen. Most of us have heard this story time and time again. We know and we believe what Jesus did back on Calvary's cross, that He paid the price for our sin and that He gave the ultimate sacrifice. But I'd like to tell you tonight that it goes further than that. It goes further than what He did some 2,000, almost 2,000 years ago. Amen. Much of what He did applied to the people in that time. But I'll tell you what, it's recorded as a lesson and an example for us today. The teaching of the gospel is no exception. You see, Jesus laid out the plan of salvation for us when He lived out the gospel in His life. When He partook in the gospel, if you will, in His personal life. Amen. He laid out our example. Amen. Romans chapter number 6 and verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, or from here on, hereafter, that we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You know what? When you die out to your sin, you're free from it. It doesn't have dominion over you anymore. It doesn't have power over you anymore. You don't have to submit to it anymore. You don't have to go back to the old lifestyle. You don't have to go back to the old way of living. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Amen. Our old sinful ways have to die. Amen. If you will, the old man or woman has to die first. We don't have to die physically. Can somebody say praise the Lord tonight? We don't have to die out physically, no, but we die out spiritually. We die through repentance. Amen. The Bible tells us that repentance is our way to die. Repentance isn't about face. Amen. When we're living in the world, when we're living in sin, when we're living our way, the way that we desire to and not the way that God desires for us to live, we're walking and we're walking away from God. And we're walking in our backs away from God. Amen. But when we come to a place of repentance, when we come to an altar of repentance, we do an about face. And now we're facing towards God. You know what? We're not sitting right up against God. We're not where we need to be yet, but we're at least facing in the right direction. Repentance is an about face. It's a military term that says about face. And we're going in the right direction. Amen. Repentance is how we die out to the old man. Amen. Repentance is a turning away from our old life and our old lifestyle of sin. Amen. If you will, we die out to the old way that we've been living. We die out to the ways that are not pleasing to God. We die out to the things that God is not desiring in our lives. God wants to bless us. God wants to give us something greater in our lives. Amen. So we've got to make room for God. We've got to make room for God in our lives. So we turn away from our sins. We turn away from our sinful ways, and we make room for God to dwell in our lives. Amen. Repentance is the first part. Amen. It's more than just asking for forgiveness for our sins, but it's turning our back on those sins and making some commitments to God. You know what? I'm not going to go that way anymore. I'm not going to do that thing anymore. I'm not going to go back to them. Amen. Do we fall short? Absolutely. We're flesh. We're not able to do it in and of ourselves. Amen. But by the power and the presence of God, God is able to help us to make it all the way. God is able to help us to keep those commitments that we make to Him whenever we turn away from our sins. Amen. Next, as Christ was buried, we have to be buried. Just like in this life, when someone dies, they have to be buried. Amen. It's not optional. Amen. We don't want dead bodies laying around. We don't want people smelling because nobody buried them. Amen. But when somebody dies, they have to be buried. Amen. When we die out to our old lifestyle and our old man of sin, we have to be buried. Amen. Romans chapter number 6 and verse 3 says, know ye not that as many of us, or so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Let's stop there for just a second. The old sinful us, if you will, is buried in the waters of baptism. Amen. We have turned from our sinful ways. Baptism is the means by which our sins can be washed away. Amen. It's more than just getting wet. It's more than just taking a bath. Amen. We're not washed in the physical sense. We're washed in the spiritual sense. Baptism is more than just a public confession of our faith or a religious obligation that we have to fulfill. Amen. Baptism has a greater spiritual purpose tonight. Amen. We are burying that old man or that old woman. We are burying that old sinful lifestyles in the waters of baptism so that those sins of our past no longer have power or dominion over us. Amen. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. Aren't you glad that when you go down in the waters of baptism that you don't stay under the water? Amen. I can only breathe for so long. I can only hold my breath for so long under the water. Amen. But we don't stay under the water. After we go under the water, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come back up. Amen. And we come back up. That is what is referred to, the experience is the resurrection. Amen. The rest of verse 4 says, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. The resurrection from the dead that Jesus experienced is representative today of us being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's God putting His Spirit deep down inside of us. Amen. Once we've died spiritually, we have to be buried in baptism. Then we're ready to rise again in the newness of life. Amen. When God puts His Spirit down inside of us, we are resurrected from the dead. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful for the resurrection. I'm so thankful for His Spirit. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. Amen. All those commitments that we made in repentance, you know what? We can't keep them by ourselves. We don't have the power or the ability. Amen. Before I came to God, I tried to quit smoking. And you know what? I wasn't able to do it by myself. But when I gave it to God, when I gave it to Him and I made some commitments to Him through the power of the Holy Ghost and His Spirit dwelling within me, I didn't have the desire to go that way anymore. Amen. And whatever it is, whatever commitment that you make to God, God's able to give you the strength to keep that commitment. God's able to give you the ability to make true on that promise. Amen. The resurrection that Jesus experienced is representative of our resurrection in being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. When God puts His Spirit deep down inside of us, we are resurrected from the dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man or woman, you can plug women into there as well, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation. You put off the former lifestyle, the ways that you were living before, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. That's what God desires for each of us. Amen. He wants to put His righteousness in our hearts. He wants to put His holiness down in the depths of our heart. Amen. Not because we don't do the things that we do. We don't live for God the way that we live for God because we have to. But we do it out of a heart of desire. We do it out of a heart of holiness that He's put down deep inside of us. And when we do something that's not pleasing to God, we're pricked in our heart. We get convicted in our heart and saying, you know what? This can't cohabitate with the presence of God. God's Spirit is dwelling within me. I can't have this thing cohabitating with a holy God. I've got to get rid of this. It's either I get rid of this or I get rid of God. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to get rid of God. I'd rather get rid of anything else, but I don't want to get rid of God. Amen. Peter preached the same gospel message on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2 and verse 38. He said, then Peter said unto them, he said, repent. That's the death. He said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's the burial. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the resurrection. Amen. It's just as important. It's so very vital how we're baptized. Amen. I know I already said it, but it says here in the book of Acts that we are to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Amen. We're not to be baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, it says in Matthew 28:19 that you're supposed to baptize in the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. What's the name of the Father? What's the name of the Son? What's the name of the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Amen. Baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Amen. Remission means blotting out. Remission means washing away. It means the sins that were there, they aren't there anymore. They're washed away. Are you thankful for that? Amen. I'm thankful for the remission of sins. It's baptism in His name that washes away those sins. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. For without shedding of blood, there is no remission." There has to be blood for remission. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible, when I read about the account of Calvary where Jesus went to the cross, what did he shed on Calvary for us? Amen. He shed his blood. Amen. There was blood that was shed for your redemption. There was blood that was shed for my redemption. There was blood that was shed so that we can obtain remission. Amen. When we're baptized in his name, we are taking on the blood of Christ. We are taking on his precious blood. Amen. We're taking on the blood of his sacrifice. And it's that blood that covers us. It's that blood that makes us whole. It's that blood that washes us. Amen. So that when God looks at us, you know, when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin anymore. After you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you know what he sees? He doesn't see the sin that you committed before you came to him. He doesn't see all the evil and all the sinful things and all the lifestyle that you lived before. You know what he sees? He sees the blood of Christ. He sees the blood of Christ that's covering everything that you've done up to that point. Amen. And you know what? The blood of Christ is powerful enough to wash the sin, any sin that you commit after you come to God and after you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The blood of God is powerful enough to shield all of those things. Amen. The Bible says that he forgets them. They go away from his memory. Can God forget something? Absolutely. God forgets our sins. God forgets our evil past, our sinful lifestyle before we came to him. Amen. You know what he sees when he looks at you? He sees a regenerated child of God. He sees the new man that you are. He sees the new creature that you are in Christ. He sees the precious blood of Jesus Christ covering your sins. Amen. He sees something that's beautiful. He sees something that's whole, made whole by his precious sacrifice. Amen. Not by something that we do. We don't have the ability to save ourselves. Amen. Our blood is not capable of giving remission for our own sins. Amen. But he paid the price on Calvary so that we didn't have to. Amen. His blood. Amen. It covers us so that when God looks at us, he doesn't see anything. Amen. The Bible tells us that it's as far, our sin is as far as the east is from the west. How much farther can you get away from it? Amen. God doesn't look at it that way anymore. But God sees the new man. Amen. Once those sins have been washed away in the precious name of Jesus Christ, they are no longer a part of our life. Amen. If we go back to our sinful lifestyle, we do it out of our own choice, not because God hasn't paid the price. Amen. God's given us the ability. God's given us the strength. Amen. The Bible says God doesn't remember them anymore, so we shouldn't remember them anymore. Amen. If the devil tries to come around and heap condemnation on you, heap condemnation on your head and say, you know what, you're just an old sinner. You used to do this and you used to that. You're right. Devil, I did used to do that. But it's covered by the blood of Jesus. I did used to do those things and I'm not proud of them at all. But I'll tell you what, the blood of Jesus has washed me and it has covered me. And by the remission, I am made whole and I am made clean. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're not the same person that we used to be. Amen. We're a new creature in Christ. Amen. That's what God sees. All throughout the book of Acts. Amen. And I'm not going to go into every scripture. You know them. But all throughout the New Testament church, the book of Acts, every person that was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Every single person. Amen. Not one time, if I look through the Word of God, not one time do I find somebody that was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. But many times throughout the Word of God, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized calling upon the name of the Lord. They were baptized in His name. The Gentiles, Samaria, the Apostle Paul recounts of it. Everywhere in the book of Acts, it talks about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If that's how the Bible teaches us, if that's the Word of God, if that's what it teaches, amen, why would we want to be baptized in any other way? Amen. Because there are people that would subvert us. There are people that would try to distract us. There are people that would try to complicate the Word of God and try to create new forms of baptism that were not biblical, that were not according to the will of God. They got away from the simplicity that is in Christ. I mean, you don't have to be a college educator. You don't have to be a scholar. My five-year-old can tell you the basics of the plan of salvation. He wouldn't do it if I asked him, but he can. Amen, because it's simple enough, you know, even for a five-year-old to understand. Amen. It's simple enough that our children can get a hold of it and that our children can come to a place of repentance. They don't even totally understand what sin is when they come to an altar of repentance. Amen. But they know that they need God in their life and they begin to seek after Him, and God fills them with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm thankful for God filling our children with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they're baptized in Jesus' name. And you know what? They're covered with that blood. They're covered with that covering. And that covering goes with them from their youth all the way through the rest of their life. And God's able to wash away and continue to help wash away any sin. Do you know that your sin is never too big for God? Amen. If you think that your sin is bigger than God can forgive, you've got some pride issues. Because there's nothing that's too big for my God. Oh, well, I'm just too bad of a person, and God can't. Come on. God can save any one of us. Amen. And God desires to save us. Amen. The Bible says that He wills that everyone come to a place of repentance. Amen. Amen. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Amen. Why do we baptize in the name of Jesus? Amen. Well, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Amen. No other name is going to save you. No other God is going to save you. No other ideology or teaching is going to save you. Amen. Than the simplicity that is in Christ. We obtain salvation through the name of Jesus Christ and through baptism in His name. Amen. That's part of it. So you see, it's really important what we believe and what we preach. It's important how we live for God and what we do and what we don't do. Amen. We need to make sure that we're holding on to and living the true gospel message. Amen. We need to make sure that we don't try to overcomplicate things. We don't try to infuse our own minds. But let's just keep it simple. Amen. And no, I'm not talking about the KISS principle, the keep it simple, stupid principle. I don't want to be offensive to anybody, but we do need to keep it simple. Don't complicate it. Don't complicate the Word of God. Don't make it harder than it needs to be. The Bible says His commandments are not grievous. Amen. It's not hard to live for God. It's hard to live against God. It's hard to, what did Paul say? It's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard to kick to go against the grain, if you will. When we're walking away from God, we're going against the grain. It's a hard uphill battle. It's a hard uphill climb. You know, you hear some of the older folks say that they had to walk to school uphill both ways. Amen. When you live for yourself and you live for sin, it's like walking uphill all the time. Against the grain. Fighting against resistance and things that would try to slow you down. Amen. But when you turn around and you start walking with God, it's like walking downhill. It's easy. You're going with the grain. It's not as much effort. It's not as hard. Oh, well, I've got to give this up. You know what? God's not going to take anything away from us that is going to bless us. God is not going to talk to you about anything in your life that's going to bless you, but He's going to only take out of your life and only talk to you about things in your life that are going to hurt you or draw you farther away from God. Amen. If there are people in your life that are drawing you away from God, amen, don't hang around them. We want people that will draw us and help us to draw closer to God. We want people that will help us to see what God, the potential of that God has for each of us. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. If you have not repented of your sins tonight, I encourage every one of us, come and let's find a place of repentance. Amen. If you have not been baptized in the saving name of Jesus Christ, amen, please, please consider the Scriptures. And there are others, and I would gladly share them with you. Come to me after the service tonight, and I'll gladly share them with you. And follow the simplicity that God has laid out for us. if you have not received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, amen, the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, amen, we would love for you to get a friend and come and find a place to pray tonight. Amen. He has it for every single one of us. If you've already got the Holy Ghost, amen, God has it for you again. Amen. Let's come tonight. Let's come around this altar and let's pray. Amen. If there's someone here tonight that needs the Holy Ghost, come tonight. Get a friend. Have them come with you and let's pray and let's seek after God tonight.